Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good morning, Colorado Springs. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, and I'm your host, Angela Jones. Our program today is sponsored by Brighter Day Law, and we're very pleased to be meeting today with Valerie Brodar of River Moss Reiki. Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, okay, and I'm just going to ask out of the gate, what is Reiki?
What is Reiki? Great question, right? So Reiki is a gentle, hands-on healing technique that allows our bodies to release stress, release energies that are stuck, too cold, too warm, and brings us back into balance so we can feel better.
So is this something that you perform on other people or people perform on themselves?
Well, both. Okay. So with my practice, I both practice and teach. So in part of our teaching Reiki, we teach our students to do self-Reiki, right? Because who needs more love and compassion than ourselves,
right?
And so we practice Reiki on ourselves, hopefully every day, to keep ourselves in balance, to keep ourselves grounded. And then with practicing on others, it's very similar to, well, actually, I'm not going to go down that path. So you're on a massage table.
Okay.
But it's not like a massage.
All right.
So, and the hand positions are just still laying on the body in different places. And it just allows whatever energy is flowing. It really uses the principles of physics.
Okay. Interesting.
It's just the principles of physics, right? So energy isn't created or destroyed. It just moves.
Tell me more about it. One thing I will tell you, I did some body work or had some body work done called Rolfing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is sounding similar, but I'd like to explore more about just this physics aspect.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So Rolfing, I've had a lot of Rolfing done. Rolfing can be really painful. I don't know if you've had that experience. My experience was it's this really good pain, and once we get through this pain, we'll be good. One of the beautiful things about Reiki is it's very, very gentle. So it never causes pain, never causes harm. And the way, if you can think about physics, water is a great example, right? Which is part of why I use river in that, right? So as a river's flowing gently, naturally, right? Things are smooth, right? But the sun can come out and it can start baking and it gets too hot and then we start to get steam,
right?
Or it's winter, right? And it starts to freeze up. So it's just different states of energy.
Okay.
So what, as a practitioner with Reiki, we do is find those areas in the body that perhaps are too hot, too cold, aren't flowing, right? So that are stuck, and then get that to release or to cool down or to warm up, if that makes sense.
And how do you accomplish those things?
It's purely through channeling that energy. So Reiki is an energy that exists in the universe, right? Like this microphone's an energy, the table's an energy, right? You and I are energy, cats are energy, trees are energy. Reiki's just another energy that exists in the universe. And it's a way of just sort of calling it in and paying attention to it and saying, aha, here it is. We can call this energy in to help you. Because we all heal ourselves, so it's really just helping you heal yourself.
Well, you've mentioned physics. I want to talk about science just a little bit more.
Sure.
That's okay.
And, of course.
And I'm gonna give a sneak peek.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you're a college professor. An earlier permutation of your profession.
Right.
Just let's talk about, like, you're saying everyone's energy is some people, you know, may tend to think, oh, that's woo-woo kind of an idea.
Sure.
But it really is chemistry.
It's chemistry.
I mean, it really breaks down that we are all made out of the same things, you know, protons, neutrons, you know. So it's really just a reorganization of those same basic core elements.
Right.
I mean, that everything is made of.
Right.
And that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, okay. How did you get into this? Teaching?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And what did you teach?
So I was in the visual art program at UCCS. Awesome program. Loved my students. It was great fun. I loved being a professor, actually. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. And I hired someone to teach for us, a lovely woman, Olivia Lumberg, who was a painter and drawer and also a Reiki master.
Uh-huh.
And she was offering her first Reiki class, and she was like, oh, you should come. You'll like this. It'll be fun. And I love to learn new things, right? Part of being an artist and a professor is curiosity. And it was like, sure, let's do it. And so I went and I fell absolutely in love. It was like coming home to something I already knew, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sometimes we have those experiences where we're like, wow, I don't know how I know this, but I know this.
Like it's a natural gift or a talent or something.
Yep.
Like just
it was just a great fit. And so I spent a number of years taking more classes from her, doing the various levels. There are 4 levels of Reiki. And got to a point where it was like, you know, I loved UCCS when I came in 2001 when we were like this big, so like 4,000 students.
Right.
And then in 2016 when I left, we were over 11 and they're shooting for 20. And so it just became a very big school instead of this lovely small school. So, and that's perfect and wonderful and that is how it should be. But for me, it was like, I think it's time. And so we were saved and figured out what we could do, and I started River Moss Reiki in 2015, even though I left the university in 2016.
So. Well, there's so many things I want to talk to you. I want to ask you about, but I want to talk about river.
Yeah.
And I fish.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about fishing in a river is the river's never the same.
Exactly.
It's constantly changing. Like, you know, you may find, you know, it'll be like call a honey hole or a kitty hole. Okay. Like, it's easy to catch fish because the current's moving in a certain way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it rains, that may shift out or shift in, you know, or, you know, so just different things that will come along, you know, a log will come down the river or, you know, quick waters will wash rocks away.
Yeah.
And so, even while on the surface it may look the same, it's constantly in, and I would say evolution. And I don't mean in a, you know, in a charged type of way, but it's in this constant state of flux, of moving, of going from what it is to what it's becoming.
Right.
And so tell me more how maybe those types of ideas resonate with you and with the, you know, what you've chosen, you know, you know, as your business name now.
Right. Yeah. That perfect analogy. Right. So if you think about, we think we're the steady energy, right? But just think about the last 5 minutes, right? What if shifted in your energy in those last 5 minutes, right? You were in a meeting and you were doing this and then Ashley tinged you and you're like, okay, wait, my attention is over here. And no, wait, now I have to come in or I have to focus, right? And now I have to sit and I'm going to breathe.
Right.
Okay, now.
So
right?
In what we're talking about now, getting here today, I had a meeting coming right up to the moment that I needed to step into the studio.
Right.
And so I had to, you know, close that loop and meet with Ashley, who works with us at Brighter Day, who had met you in advance and Al here.
Yeah.
And so it was like, hey, let's shift into doing that. And,
right.
and you know, basically our energy state, my energy state in particular changed. Otherwise, I mean, if I had brought that same energy level into what we're doing now, the dynamic would have been very different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And so to use your log example, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got our day and we're going, right? And we're driving. Driving's an excellent example, right? And so we're coming along and we're like, yeah, everything's good. And then all of a sudden somebody comes speeding by us and zips in front of us and all of a sudden our energy changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get activated. For some people that's just like, panic, you know, for other people that's, you know,
anger,
scream and yell, and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that settles back down again. So it's like that log floating in the river, right? So it floats by, and there it goes, and now we're back to our state of energy again.
Or as we're floating down the river, and I don't know if you've ever done, like in Colorado, it's wonderful to be able to do white water rafting.
Yeah.
You know, we're navigating around these obstacles. Very different if you figure out how to go around it versus run right into it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so our emotions are like that, really, if you think about it. And our emotions are just energy. Our thoughts are just energy. Right? Because we all, most of us anyway, have had that experience when we meet somebody for the first time and you just like their energy, right? And you feel better. Or it's somebody you're like, I don't know. Maybe they can stand a little further away. Just maybe another foot or two that way. Okay, that's good. Right?
Right.
And so those are just energies that we're feeling from those other people. Right? And so with that sense, it's like, how are those energies move? Where do they get stuck? Right? Where are those sweet spots you were talking about? Honey hole.
It's like a fishing spot, you know. Even when I'm fishing, like I was most recently up in Alaska doing some salmon fishing. I was up there for 3 weeks and we returned to the same place day after day, and harvesting sockeye, and then ultimately moved on. The silvers came in, and I had my spot that I found on the bank. I had my setup, my rod, they call poles up there, but they're really a rod and reel. But I had my rod and reel set, my weight set, my leader, my line, everything was set just like it needed to be for me in that spot. Right. And, you know, given the change in the water, or the light, or whether how hot or cold it was, the salmon who are running upriver, spawn, would kind of move out or in. And so I'd get there and I knew that I had my setup correct. You know, it was all right in where the bottom was. So I would either have to shift forward or shift back, to be able to get the effect that I wanted, you know, the cause and effect going there. Yeah. So.
Excellent analogy.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, right, with Reiki. So our body's in a particular place, right? And when we're feeling good and balanced, we feel healthy, we feel joyful, we feel able to negotiate. Whoop, here comes that driver in front of me. Ooh, yeah, that was scary, but everything's fine, right? Or not, conversely. So when our system gets out of balance, right, your rod is in the wrong place, or it's too far back, or it's too far forward, right? We don't get the results that we're trying to get, which is to be peaceful and joyful and move through the world in fluid ways.
Right, the place I'm casting from, so
exactly.
to speak.
Exactly, perfect.
You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with our wonderful guest, Valerie Brodar, here today. So I know you said you'd met a colleague and that's how you got into it, but what led up to this? Like, and I know this is tied in with your faith.
Sure.
As we talked about that a little bit earlier. But what led you into sort of this path?
Yes.
What's the behind?
The behind. Yeah. So, I was one of those kids, and, you know, sometimes we're the kids in the family, right? The one that's a little off, the one that's always like, there are monsters in the closet, or what's happening here, and the person that's always feeling the things, and everybody else is like, what? What's going on? No, whatever.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so at some point, it was like, okay, I can continue trying to talk about these things and feel these things, or just kind of, we'll just chill out with them.
And can I clarify?
Yeah, sure.
I can ask you a question. Yeah. So you were, I'm just going to use a word, and you let me know if this is okay.
Yeah.
You were sort of empathic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were feeling things or sensing, things.
Yep.
And you got a message that, that made you different in a bad way.
Yeah.
And so you sort of shut that down. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what you're hearing. And a lot of empaths have that experience early on.
Okay.
Right? And I don't know if any of you have heard this phrase, you're too sensitive. Right?
Or emotional.
Or too emotional. Exactly. Right?
I don't believe that anybody's too anything.
I don't think so too.
I don't really love...
Yeah.
I don't really love placing labels on people. And that's why I got to preface this idea of just even saying, okay, quote-unquote empath.
Sure.
But words do have power, and they have meaning. They're ways that
they
we communicate our thoughts.
Right.
But I don't want to stop you. I just want to make sure I'm tracking.
You are tracking perfectly.
What you're expressing.
And so it was like always sensitive to energies, always understanding these things and feeling things much more than other people. And actually, this is funny with Rolfing. Mm. One of the first Rolfer I worked with, wonderful man in Phoenix, Jeff Maitland, said to me at one point, we were talking, he was like, you know, do you realize you feel stuff and understand stuff that other people don't? And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah. And so it was kind of one of those awakenings, like, aha.
So this happened when you were little, that you got this negative message.
Negative message, yeah.
Okay.
And
then
much, much later, this is like 30 years later, 40 years later, working with Jeff and Rolfing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, also coming very early to, and, you know, we were talking about Buddhism, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really not mm-hmm. a religion. It's really just a practice of mindful compassion. And it's, a, you know, compassion is just that recognizing suffering mm-hmm. and trying to alleviate that suffering.
And when, insofar so, you said we were talking yeah. about Buddhism, that's, right. you're a practicing
right.
Buddhist.
Practicing Buddhist, okay. yeah. And Reiki actually comes out of Buddhism.
Okay.
Although, again, it's not a religion, so it's not a religious practice.
Gotcha.
It's really, again, how do we find suffering? Mm-hmm. How do we recognize it? And how do we alleviate it?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be mental suffering, emotional suffering, physical suffering, or spiritual suffering.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, I wasn't aware that, yeah. That's kind okay. of interesting yeah. to me because, you know, Buddhism is taught right. as a world religion.
Right, yeah.
And in fact, I think my first right. exposure mm-hmm. to anything about Buddhism right. was in probably, I was my freshman year in college.
Okay,
because I grew up in the South and, you know, there were various religions in yeah, that area sure. and it was Baptist and right. Presbyterian and,
right. That's right.
and the Catholics, I think, you know, pretty much it.
right.
You know, yeah. where I was coming from. So it really, you know, it was very interesting to me to take that class and start to
yeah.
learn about, you know, religions practiced throughout mm-hmm.
the world.
Hinduism
yeah.
and, you know, yeah. Islam and,
right.
you know, Buddhism,
right.
which
yeah.
was taught.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's very interesting
yeah.
that, you know, you're bringing this idea in mm-hmm. that it's really not a religion.
Right. It's really just a practice.
Okay.
And that's what Reiki is. It's just a practice. And
okay.
again, it comes back to that mindful compassion. And we talked a little bit before about I teach my students how to do self-Reiki, right? And we do self-Reiki to alleviate our own suffering.
Right.
And the more we alleviate our own suffering, the more we radiate joy, the more we radiate peace, the more we
mm-hmm.
are, you know, when coming back to our car example, right? When that person
right.
cuts them off, instead of flipping them the finger, we're like, may the universe give you a blessing today. You know, something's going on with you. Let's shower you with a little love.
Right.
Right? And so it allows us that space to be kinder, really.
Mm.
So,
well,
yeah.
and I think what's interesting, you're touching on a couple, two, three things that for me I have found over the course of my life to be
yeah.
true. And one of those is that, you know, we cannot control our circumstances, what's happening around us,
yeah.
but we do have an ability, if we acknowledge it, to
right.
control our reactions
exactly.
to those things.
Yeah.
And another theme, and I learned this through my Christian practice,
yeah.
and I'll just paraphrase,
sure.
is that we're to take every thought captive
mm-hmm.
and make it obedient to truth.
Mm, okay.
And so this is a
right.
similar
yeah.
idea that you're talking about,
okay.
like that, okay, this thing has happened, and
right.
if you recognize mm-hmm. that it's our attachments to certain
exactly.
things
yeah.
or expectation
mm-hmm.
that X will happen or Y
right.
will happen,
yeah.
instead of, hey, here is the thing that's happening,
right?
You know, and
mm-hmm.
being okay with that.
Right.
And, you know, one of my favorite movies, I don't know if you ever saw
okay.
The Matrix.
Yeah, of
okay.
course.
So in The Matrix, it's like, you know, Neo one day, they were talking
that's
about,
right.
you know, when you'll finally see it,
right.
you know, it
yeah.
all, you be, you know, he becomes able, when he's mm-hmm. able to see what's actually going on,
mm-hmm.
he realizes
right.
that he has complete ability to navigate that
yeah.
environment inside
mm-hmm.
the Matrix,
right.
you know,
right.
because he sees the Matrix for
mm-hmm.
what it is. And
right.
I think there's a lot of very interesting concepts
mm-hmm.
that come from that,
yes,
you know,
are.
That are the foundation of that movie,
mm-hmm.
but are
right.
that to be found in that movie.
Yeah.
But that's one of those, I think it's similar to what mm-hmm. you're talking about. It's like when this guy, you know, the guy cuts us off in traffic
right.
and we see, you know, it for what it is.
Right.
Okay, this guy pulled in front of me. I don't have to attach meaning
exactly. yeah.
To what he's
right.
done,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless I choose to.
Right.
And, you know, oh, do I have to label him, oh, a jerk? Or do
right.
I have to say
yeah.
he doesn't even care
right.
whether other people are safe around him? You
right.
know, there are all kinds of motivations
mm-hmm.
or character assignments
exactly.
I could make
exactly.
that would, you know, not help me,
mm-hmm.
certainly not going to help him.
Right.
Or I can go, you know, gosh, I'm really grateful.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on with this guy,
mm-hmm.
he's still safe. I'm still safe. The
exactly.
people around us are still safe.
Right.
And, you know, from your perspective, like
right.
you said, bless him
yeah.
by sending him
yeah, just
loving
send
thoughts.
Love. Yeah.
I might pray for him.
Right.
I don't know what's
exactly.
going on with this guy
exactly. yeah.
today.
Right.
But
yeah.
I just ask, you
right.
know, for blessings
right.
in his life, for safety,
yeah.
for me, for
mm-hmm.
everyone around.
Yeah.
And that
beautiful.
Is that right there, it transforms your experience.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what, so we're on the same page.
We are
there.
On the same page.
Awesome.
We are on the same page. It's compassion.
All right. So yeah. Tell me, like, at that interim between, mm-hmm. you know, when you were little and you mm-hmm. kind of learned to, you know, like a lot of us do, right. to mm-hmm. take who we are and, yeah. you know, make it fit mm-hmm. other people's ideas and expectations. Yep. And yep. here's one thing, I really like, that I've come to learn and I like to share with mm-hmm. the people I interact with yeah. on an ongoing basis. Look, the fears that we have, the things that we're taught mm-hmm. that kind of tend yeah. to have us shut down or mm-hmm. have us behave in ways that in our adulthood aren't right. always the most productive, yeah. they're passed along to us yeah. to keep us safe.
Exactly.
And our brain, right. having picked those things up, mm-hmm. also wants to keep us safe.
Right.
And so that's part yeah. of the reason why we have to take our thoughts mm-hmm. examine those thoughts, mm-hmm. correct those thoughts where they're in error, mm-hmm. and that changes how we feel about things.
Exactly.
That's really yeah. where the mm-hmm. control right. comes in. Mm-hmm. So, but in between those times, so and the reason I said that
sure.
is because I don't want to vilify mm-hmm. anybody who may have given you a message.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, and I don't yeah. think that's your intention
no,
either.
No, no, no.
Yeah. You know, that, you know,
they were doing
because I think
thing.
Sometimes we do.
Yeah.
You know, people can do that. Like, yeah. oh, this person
right.
did this thing. And
right.
and that also is not productive for us
right.
at all.
Yeah.
And if we accept the fact that, you know, people are passing along what they have
yeah.
for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the time they're trying to survive. And if they're loving people, mm-hmm. such as our parents,
yeah.
then they're passing along to us what they think is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
So, but between that time that you kind of started to get this message mm-hmm. that you need to fit into a different box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the time that, you know, you had this sort of awakening,
mm-hmm.
you said in Phoenix, I think.
Well, that was with the Rolfer, yeah.
The Rolfer?
Yeah.
In between that time.
Yeah.
So what did your life
right.
look like?
Okay.
What was that path?
So, well, I think one of the things that has also been, you know, beautiful, like just being an artist, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you've got a lot of freedom
right.
in being an artist, right?
Right.
Because with all those stereotypes, oh, you're an artist.
Right.
You can get away with those kinds of behaviors, right? You're not supposed to fit into this box because
right.
you're an artist. So, yeah, but I was very interested, have always been interested in those notions of, like, what is that interior life that we have,
mm.
right? What is that interiorness? What is it to be quiet? Right? Like you mentioned prayer earlier, right? Or fishing,
mm.
right? You can't be out there with your boombox, you know, cranked up to 400 and screaming and yelling because the fish are like,
mm-hmm.
not there, right? But if you're quiet, right, what can we draw to us when we're quiet? And so I think, you know, as a practicing artist and going to school for art and then graduate school and then being professor in the arts, it was still that kind of path of, like, where is that interior place?
Mm.
And then learning more about Buddhism and sitting and mm-hmm. meditating, right? Again, it comes down to that. When we sit in quiet, we find out where our heart is, right? And we find ways to expand our heart
mm-hmm.
to others.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who, we've all encountered people who have harmed us in some way,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether intentionally or unintentionally, mm-hmm. the guy cut us off. He wasn't intentionally trying to cut us off. I mean, there's that beautiful phrase about no one wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to be a jerk today,
right?
Right? Stuff happens.
Someone just,
yeah.
sometimes we just naturally do that, right?
Yeah, that's right, right? And it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's those ways, I think, with that meditation practice
mm-hmm.
and, you know, doing a lot of various kind of modalities of healing, like Rolfing
mm-hmm.
or acupuncture, mm-hmm. cranial sacral, and really coming to Reiki from that place of, like, wow, there are all of these things that can just help us be more peaceful. And when we're more peaceful, we can be kinder. And we all need to just be kinder.
We all do need
yeah.
to just be as kind
yeah,
as possible.
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not a judgment. That's just,
right.
you know, just think about if we could radiate kindness more
mm-hmm.
in our day, we'd draw that to us, right?
Absolutely.
And so with a lot of my clients, we talk about this too. She's wonderful. She's actually a client first and then a student. She's in her late 70s,
mm-hmm.
like her second husband. And, you know, when she first started coming, she's like, he's this, and da 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 da. And as we were going through the Reiki and she was learning, at one session she came in, and this was just so beautiful. She said, you know, he's just been so nice to me. She's like, I don't know what changed in him. And it was like, you changed.
Right.
You changed.
And that's
yeah.
so interesting, because I find that in my work as well,
mm-hmm.
is that,
yeah.
you know, if, like, for instance, in a you know, co-parenting situation, which can be very difficult
yeah,
for
be
people,
very stressful.
You know, when you're transitioning to a new family dynamic, that, you know, you don't have any control over the other person.
Right.
But I often, you know, I take my role as like legal counsel part very seriously. You know, but when you change, then it changes the overall dynamic.
Exactly.
And you can't control what the other person does.
Right.
But when you shift, by definition, it's not going to be the same between you.
Right.
It's going to be different.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, we all have just a few more minutes.
Okay.
Then let's talk about, and I know it's not the same thing, but kind of your practice,
sure.
you know, like an experiential practice.
Sure.
Could you lead us through an experiential practice for our last few minutes?
Sure, I can. So one of the things that I work with a lot with my clients is grounding. Right?
Okay.
Because our culture tends to spend a lot of time in our heads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're up here a lot. And we need to kind of get that chatter sometimes, right?
Mm.
I like to say that little critic in there. It's like at 2 a.m, you're trying to sleep, and it's going, so what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? And what about that? And why didn't you? And right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just keeps going. And
right.
oftentimes we have a lot of people that have trouble sleeping and those kind of things. So a very simple grounding exercise is just to, first of all, just kind of relax, give the shoulders a little wiggle.
So you're sort of shaking your shoulders and sitting in the seat,
just
rounding our shoulders back and forth.
Just
okay.
Give them a little wiggle.
All right.
You're going to take some nice, deep, gentle breaths into your lower abdomen. If you can get down there, a lot of us breathe up in our chest up here instead of way.
Do you have a trick for that? How to know
do that?
The difference?
Yeah.
Between?
Think about you have a balloon down in your abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you breathe in through your nose, think about just expanding it out as big as you can, right? So all of these notions of, oh, I have to be skinny and my stomach has to be flat. No, we want a big Buddha belly, big belly, right?
Okay.
As much air as you can get in there,
think
right?
Post In-N-Out burger.
That's right. There you go. Perfect, right? And then as you exhale through your mouth, you're going to drop that navel to your spine,
okay.
right?
Okay.
So it's like inflating the balloon, letting all the air out. Right?
Okay.
And it's just following that breath really gently, and then bring your attention to the top of your head, and imagine you've got beautiful divine light up there, whether you want to call it God, Krishna, the universe, it's just divine love and light. And so you allow that energy to come down through your head, into your neck, into your torso, down into your belly, out your arms and hands, down into your hips and thighs. As you continue to breathe softly, allow that white glowing love and light to go down your calves, into your ankles, and out the bottoms of your feet, into the earth, connecting you both to your divine source nature of love and light, and the earth's divine nature of love and light. And just continue to breathe gently in and out, allowing that light to fill you and calm you and remind you that you are loved, that your true nature is light and love, that you are peaceful and calm, and that you can come back to this feeling whenever you need it by just drawing in that light from above and below.
Well, you certainly are love and light and peaceful and loved, Valerie. If any of our listeners would like to get a hold of you, can you let them know how?
Sure. They can find me on the web at rivermusreiki.com.
Okay.
Which is easy. They can find out all kind of information there. You can also call me. And that is 719-985-1556. Or they can email me also at valerie@rivermusreiki.com.
Thank you so much for sharing yourself with us here today.
Oh,
thank you for joining us for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. And we look forward to spending more time with you then.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean.